Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily, everyone. Glad to have you with us for another deep dive into all things cybersecurity. Today, we've got three really interesting stories that really highlight the, you know, kind of the constant back and forth between cyber defenders and attackers.
Yeah.
We'll be looking at how some attackers are changing up their methods, you know, where these threats are finding success, and why those, you know, those basic security measures really are so important. Ready to jump in.
Absolutely. It's a good look, I think, at the landscape right now. You know, these aren't just isolated incidents. These are all part of a larger, you know, kind of an evolving set of trends of how threat actors are thinking and operating.
So let's kick things off down under. We're going to head to Australia and talk about a situation involving some large Australian superannuation funds. Now, these are kind of like the equivalent of pension funds here in the States.
Okay.
And over the past weekend, these funds were hit with a significant credential stuffing attack. Now, we've probably all heard that term before, but what exactly does a credential stuffing attack look like in practice?
Well, imagine, you know, someone with a giant ring of keys, each stolen from different houses.
Okay.
And they're going around trying each key in every lock they can find. That's basically what's happening here on a digital scale.
Yeah.
Attackers get these huge lists of usernames and passwords that were stolen in previous breaches on other websites completely, and they try them systematically to see if they can get into these superannuation accounts.
Yeah.
And the hope is, and unfortunately it often works out this way, is that people are reusing passwords across their online accounts.
And they're betting that a password used for a, you know, a less secure site might unlock the door to a much more sensitive financial account.
Exactly.
And in this case, it sounds like it was a pretty persistent effort. The Association of Superannuation Funds of Australia has acknowledged that these attacks took place, and we're seeing reports that over 20,000 accounts may have been breached in total. And sadly, some folks are actually reporting losing their savings as a result of this.
It's really scary.
Yeah, it really highlights how, you know, these attacks can have real world consequences for people.
It does. Definitely.
Yeah. So we saw several major funds confirming that they were targeted, including Australian Super, Host Plus Rest, Australian Retirement Trust, and Insignia Financial. Australian Super said that at least 600 of their accounts were compromised, and they saw this big spike in suspicious activity. Hearst Plus is still looking into the full impact. Thankfully, they haven't reported any fund losses at this point.
That's good.
Rest, on the other hand, said that around 8,000 of their members had some limited personal information accessed, things like their name, email address, and member ID number. But they also said that they haven't seen any unauthorized fund transfers that they've been able to detect.
And that's a good sign, at least.
Yeah, it is. Australian Retirement Trust and Insignia Financial also confirmed some limited impact from the attack. Interestingly, HESTA and Mercer Super said that they were not affected.
Okay, so they dodged a bullet, it sounds like.
It seems like they did, yeah. Australian Super's response was pretty straightforward. You know, they urged their members to take those steps to protect themselves online.
Where?
Rest, on the other hand, took a pretty drastic step. They actually shut down their entire online portal.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a huge deal.
It is. It was called the Member Access Portal, and they just took it offline. Now, that really gives you a sense of how seriously they were viewing this attack. What do you make of that decision?
Well, taking a system offline completely.
Yeah.
That's a last resort, usually. It does mean that legitimate users can't access their accounts.
Right.
Which is a problem, but it also means that attackers can't get in.
Right.
So it's really about, you know, containing the breach.
Yeah.
Preventing any further access until they figure out what's going on.
It's like pulling the fire alarm.
Yeah.
You know, everyone out of the building until we figure out where the fire is. Now, the fact that Rest also had personal details accessed is a concern. Because even if the attackers didn't get direct access to funds, that information can still be used for things like phishing scams.
Oh, absolutely.
Or even identity theft.
Right.
So the damage can extend well beyond just the initial breach.
It can, and that's something to keep in mind. You know, even if they didn't get your bank account, they got your name, they got your email address, that's enough to do a lot of damage. Yeah, for sure. Now, Insignia Financial, they really hammered home those basic security recommendations. You know, things like don't reuse passwords. Use strong and unique passphrases, and keep your software up to date. It feels like we hear this advice all the time, but these kinds of incidents really highlight why it's so important to keep repeating it.
Because it works.
Right.
If you use a unique password for every single online account you have, even if one site gets breached,
right,
your other accounts are safe. It's really basic, but it's really effective.
It is. And the software updates. I mean, that's another critical one.
Right.
Because a lot of times these attacks are exploiting known vulnerabilities in software.
Right. So someone's already found that hole.
Yeah.
And they've told the company about it. And then the company's issued a patch, but you haven't installed it.
Right.
So you're just wide open.
That's like leaving the front door unlocked.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It was also good to see that the Association of Superannuation Funds of Australia is launching a hotline and a toolkit.
As part of their financial crime protection initiative, it sounds like the industry as a whole is recognizing the seriousness of these threats.
Right.
And trying to coordinate a more effective response.
Which is really important.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they can share information.
Yeah.
Share best practices.
Yeah.
And learn from each other's experiences.
Yeah. It's kind of like a neighborhood watch program for the digital world.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to our second story. This one involves a ransomware group known as Hunters International. And it seems like they've decided that traditional ransomware model, you know, locking up your files and demanding a ransom for the decryption key might be losing its luster.
Okay.
So they're switching things up.
So what are they doing now?
They're actually shutting down their ransomware operations, and they're rebranding themselves as World Leaks.
Interesting.
And their new focus is on pure data theft and extortion.
Okay. So instead of encrypting the data, they're just going to steal it.
They're going to steal it. And then threaten to release it publicly unless their demands are met.
So it's a different kind of pressure.
It is. Yeah. They're even saying that they've developed their own tool to automate this process. They're calling it an exfiltration tool.
What does that even mean, an exfiltration tool?
Well, it's basically a piece of software that's designed to copy large amounts of data from a victim's network very quickly and quietly.
So they can get in and out. Without anyone knowing.
Yeah, basically. It's like a digital getaway car.
Okay, got it.
Now, even though they're rebranding, Hunters International has actually been pretty active in the ransomware scene. They emerged fairly recently, potentially as a successor to the Hive ransomware group.
Okay.
And they've claimed responsibility for a pretty impressive number of attacks across a wide range of systems. We're talking Windows, Linux servers, even specialized systems like VMware's ESXi.
So basically anything they can get their hands on.
And they've hit some pretty high-profile targets as well.
Like who?
Tata Technologies, Auto Canada, the U.S. Marshals Service, even Fred Hutch Cancer Center.
The Cancer Center.
Yeah.
That's awful.
They actually threatened to leak the data of over 800,000 patients.
Wow. That's a lot of people.
It is. Their ransom demands have ranged from, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to millions of dollars.
So big swings there.
Yeah, big swings, depending on the target. So you can really see how these attackers are constantly adapting. You know, they see the landscape changing, they weigh the risks, they weigh the potential rewards, and they adjust their strategies accordingly.
It's like a business for them.
Yeah.
They're looking at the market, they're seeing what works.
Exactly. And it's interesting because we see this evolution from encryption to data theft, and then you contrast that with the more basic, but still effective, credential stuffing attacks that we saw in Australia. It just shows that attackers are exploring all these different pressure points.
Yeah, they're looking for the weakest link, wherever it is.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to our final story today. This one takes us to the Port of Seattle. They are now in the process of notifying around 90,000 individuals that their personal data was compromised in a ransomware attack that occurred back in August of 2024.
So this is an attack that happened a while ago.
It did, yeah.
And they're just now notifying people.
Yeah, it can take a long time to investigate these kinds of incidents. You know, they need to figure out what data was accessed, who was affected, and then they need to go through all the legal and regulatory requirements for notification.
That makes sense.
So this attack back in August caused some pretty significant disruptions at the time. We're talking IT outages that impacted reservation systems, passenger displays, that their website, the Fly SEA app.
Yeah.
And it even led to flight delays.
Wow. So real world impact.
Yeah. The ransomware group behind this attack was identified as Reseda.
Reseda. I've heard that name.
Yeah. They're another ransomware as a service operation.
So like a franchise.
Yeah. Kind of like a franchise.
Okay.
You know, the core ransomware software is developed and maintained by one group, and then affiliates are recruited to deploy it in exchange for a cut of the profits.
So anyone can get into the ransomware business.
Yeah, it's a pretty low barrier to entry these days. And Reseda has been linked to several other high-profile incidents. So they're a known player.
They are, yeah.
Now, the Port of Seattle, to their credit, decided not to pay the ransom, even though Reseda threatened to publish the stolen data online.
That's a tough call.
It is, you know, because you never know if they're actually going to delete the data, even if you do pay. And you're also potentially funding their future criminal activity.
Right.
So it's a really difficult situation.
It is, yeah.
Now, the subsequent investigation revealed that a lot of personal information was indeed stolen. We're talking about data belonging to employees, contractors, and even parking customers.
Parking customers.
Yeah. It included things like names, dates of birth, social security numbers, or at least the last four digits, driver's license and government ID numbers.
Right.
And even some medical information.
Okay, so really sensitive stuff.
Yeah. And the vast majority of those affected, around 71,000 people, are residents of Washington State.
Okay, so a big local impact.
It is, yeah. Now, the port did say that passenger information related to air or maritime travel and their payment processing systems were not affected.
Okay, so at least there's that.
Yeah. They also said that the incident did not impact the safety of travel or the systems of their airline partners or federal agencies like the FAA and TSA.
That's really important.
It is, you know, because we don't want to see these kinds of attacks disrupting critical infrastructure.
Right, yeah.
It's one thing to steal data. It's another thing to, you know, potentially cause, you know, safety issues or disrupt travel.
Yeah.
Now, it's also worth noting that Reseda has targeted a lot of other organizations. We're talking about the British Library, the Chilean Army, the City of Columbus, even the video game developer Insomniac Games.
So they're all over the place.
Yeah, they are. So it just goes to show that these ransomware operations can have a really wide reach and a significant impact.
And it's not just about encryption anymore. They're stealing data. They're threatening to release it. It's a whole new level of concern.
Yeah, it is. So as we wrap up these three stories, I think it's clear that the cyber threat landscape is constantly in motion.
It is. It never stops.
We're seeing attackers trying all sorts of different approaches, whether it's, you know, going back to basics with credential stuffing or completely changing their business model, like Hunters International, or exploiting vulnerabilities that lead to widespread data compromise, like we saw with the Port of Seattle.
And it's not going to slow down anytime soon.
No, it's not. So it really highlights the importance of those basic security practices that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Strong passwords, being cautious about where you enter your information, keeping your software up to date.
Those things really matter.
They do. You know, they may seem simple.
Yeah.
But they can make a huge difference.
They can, yeah.
And as we see these tactics evolving, it really makes you think about what are the next steps? You know, what are the new defenses, the new strategies that we need to be thinking about?
How do we stay ahead of the game?
Exactly. It's a good question.
It is, yeah.
A lot to think about as we navigate this digital world.
Absolutely.
Thanks for breaking down these stories for us.
You got it.
And thanks to everyone for tuning in to Cyber Mornings Daily. We'll catch you next time for another deep dive into the world of cybersecurity.